Well, we're still alive.
After resting with Sonar and honestly getting to know her a little better, we awake without a single hair on our heads even being harmed. On top of that, Grin has himself a little friend. I don't completely understand what it's all about, but apparently it's from the Feywild. I've only heard of that in stories. Now, it's time we head into that tomb again and unlock all of its secrets. We'll see if this evil druid still haunts these halls in today's short quest, Long Rest.
The plan here on this quote-unquote morning?
Well, I imagine we're going back into that damn place. Mm. We're going to moonbeam that damn door. We're going to find what's inside, and we're going to loot the hell out of it, or we're going to murder what's inside. One of those two things. Or possibly both.
Possibly both. Possibly yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what's inside.
Sounds good.
I have a feeling it's something bad, but we'll find out. Or maybe because we fucked around and stayed the night waiting for a moonbeam, that whatever was inside moved on. But either way, we'll see.
Yeah.
Didn't have much choice because the one specific spell you could have, and God, I know I've played clerics before, and like, I mean, I know you're a druid, but having prepared spells is like the worst thing because you never have, at least I never have the right fucking spell every time. It's always just that one time where it's like, oh yeah, it'd be sweet if I had, you know, tongues.
If I had blank.
Yeah, exactly. Always blank. Whatever blank is the one time I decided to turn it off. Like, I kept it from day one, and then the one session I was like, you know what? I haven't used it in 20 sessions. Fuck it. I'm gonna switch over to this instead. And then it's like, oh, by the way, here's something that can't speak to you. Why don't you use tongues? Be like, well, you guys want to wait 24 hours or 8 hours? I'll get it for you.
So, does the team have any plans this morning? Otherwise, we're bringing you straight over to the central courtyard here.
Yeah, I don't have any, like, morning plans or anything.
Nope.
All right. And Sonar shuffles slowly along behind the rest of you.
Question before I do this. So, the full moon one there, it's the gaze upon your reflection and ask 7 questions? Something like that? Should we do that one first?
How many times can you cast a spell?
It's a concentration spell, so...
Oh, you can move it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, it's up to you.
How long does it last?
It's 1 minute, though.
Oh, so we probably would have to, because if we're going to ask ourselves, like, 7 questions, it's probably going to take up to about a minute to do it.
Okay.
At least I would imagine. Oh, we should probably check the mess kit. What's that looking like?
Yeah, as you head over towards the torn open entrance of the tomb, you can see that nothing has disturbed the mess kit overnight. All the utensils are balanced precariously on the rubble, ready to, you know, tip off if anything has come this way. But it hasn't.
Nothing's come out this way yet. Bodes well for us.
All right, Dreamer, how are you doing this?
Well, if we're going to ask the questions, someone should probably be at the mirror and ready.
Okay, who wants that responsibility?
I can't travel far from my spell, so it can't be me.
Yeah, right now my mind is blanking on, like 2 questions to ask that are pertinent to the, like, all of this.
All I can think of one.
Oh, what you got? Like, pool questions. I mean, we're sitting here, we'd be discussing it anyways if we thought this was gonna work. So
Krellick would just ask if his family's really dead.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, that would be the only thing on his mind.
Yeah.
You tease. I just checked Moonbeam and the distance on the spell is 120 feet.
Oh, and it's just outside?
Yep, and not only that, there's a statue there. So I don't know if I'd even have full vision of this spot.
We'll get another mirror and set it like right here so that you can see yourself in the mirror.
Just ping pong it around.
We don't even know if it has to be that mirror. Can that mirror move? Have we tried?
I thought it was affixed to the wall.
Oh, but it was like glowy and stuff. And magical. Yeah, we probably shouldn't fuck with the mirror.
More likely. But we can, like I said, since we'd be discussing this anyways, we could, like, if we really were thinking, hey, we're going to go get some questions answered magically. And you know, we could even ask Sonar. Let's do that. Be like, because it would make sense to roleplay it out a little bit, where I'd be like, Sonar, have you ever heard of this mirror thing? This, because you're familiar with this area and this tomb. Like, apparently if we illuminate this in moonlight, it'll light up the mirror and we can ask ourselves 7 questions.
Sonar has been standing there with her fingers laced together over her stomach, very prim and proper, you know, elbows out, chin lifted. And as she is addressed, she turns to look at the ruined wall of the tomb here.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my thoughts were elsewhere. What was your question?
I was wondering, there's a mirror inside, and there's an inscription upon the sundial here, or moon dial, I guess you might call it. But it said that if we were to illuminate the full moon and bathe it in moonlight, we could ask ourselves 7 questions, or look upon ourselves and ask 7 questions. Are you familiar with this? Do you know?
The mirror of the full moon, yes.
So this, it can just answer any question we might have.
We use it for scrying.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, what do you say, Krellick? You want to talk to a magic mirror with me?
Come on, let's go.
It'll be great.
If you say so.
Yep.
Oh, something's going to come out of this mirror and kill us, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. But I'll tell you what, if something does come out, you're the one I want here.
Alright.
That's the real reason for bringing Krellick.
Goddamn right it is. Goddamn right it is. I wanted to talk to the mirror, but I also don't want to die.
So, while you are in front of the mirror, you can see it is about 7 feet tall and half again as wide. Around the edges of it, the frame, you catch little glimpses and glimmers of light from the ornate designs there. But other than that, the surface of the mirror just reflects yourselves. And as neither of you are carrying a light and it's dark within this tomb, this is very shadowy, grayscale versions of yourselves. Krellick, you can see in the darkness that Felgrin's eyes have this almost cat-like eye shine. You know, tieflings being tieflings, you know.
Tiefling's gonna tief.
Krellick's gonna look at the eyes, but just look back in the mirror and kind of hold his shield up and kind of like peek over top of it. This magic like still freaking him out a little bit.
Like a kid over the blanket.
Yes.
I love it. Well, who's first?
Doesn't he have to light it up first?
Oh, right. I'm nervous.
I understand.
What's taking so long?
Are you ready?
Yes, go!
No and yes at the same time!
And I will cast Moonbeam.
Alright. To those of you who are outside in the sort of courtyard here around the gnomon, as Moonbeam falls upon that depiction of the full moon at the top north end of the circle, nothing happens. To Krellick and Felgrin inside, at the very instant that moonlight spills over that symbol of the full moon outside, the frame of the mirror illuminates sharply. Almost like this burst of light that remains very strong and consistent. You can see beyond the mirror, almost like a faint swirling shimmer of moonlight around the edges. Though the center of it remains a reflection of yourselves, now illuminated by moonlight. I will now let you guys know that so long as there's moonlight falling upon that symbol there, this mirror functions like a crystal ball, but it is not a specific type of crystal ball. You have access to all three of those options. Additionally, you have the option to use the spell Scry while looking into it. So whoever you name, it could potentially show you. Name or place.
So can you use Scry in conjunction with these properties?
I will allow you to use these properties and overlap them in whatever way you so choose.
Holy shit.
That seems pretty good.
Wait a minute. We literally have the name of the druid here, don't we? Didn't that come up?
Yes.
Nice. So that's something we could do. We might be able to just fucking I mean, we should save it for like the last one if this is a numbered thing, but we could straight up scry on fucking Oral.
Yeah, you could certainly scry on the Frost Again, Maiden if you're ballsy
save it for
enough.
The end, I was gonna say, because that's are one you? Of those, like, you look and it looks back at you type thing.
Who
like,
are you talking to? Are you
yeah, technically,
enough?
Felgrin and Krellic yeah. are the only two over there at this time.
I yep. am super ballsy enough, I'll tell yeah, you that he, right
he,
now.
So he was talking to you as far as that goes. He's like, how dare you
how,
say it?
How dare you?
Ballsy enough. How dare you?
I'll do what
he
I
is
please.
Mr. Balls.
Yes, I have so many balls.
So you have access to a crystal ball of mind reading, a crystal ball of telepathy, a crystal ball of true seeing, and the scry spell.
Well, have at it, Krellic. What do you want to see?
Krellic's just staring at the mirror right now. He's frozen.
Oh, come on. Snap out of it.
You first. It was your idea.
It's not an idea. It's what we have to do.
Is it working in there?
Fine.
I don't know if it's working.
I think, does he have to say it, or does he just cast the spell?
You don't know.
Oh, God. Okay. What's the druid's name? I always forget it.
Her name is Ravison.
That's
from
right.
From what you recall.
I would... This feels weird. I would like to see Ravison.
As soon as you
go.
Say... as soon as you say that name, the image in the mirror, around the edges, it continues to have those like floating tendrils of moonlight. But the reflection is no longer of you and Krellic. It is of a stone chamber with floors not dissimilar to the one you're standing on. You see a very pale-skinned, dark-haired woman with a headdress with a wolf's head of it hung low over her face. She is standing over a sarcophagus which is strewn with different herbs, different implements. There is a bedroll beside her on the floor, and in a potted plant across the room, at the very edges of the scry spell, you can make out a bush of some kind in a pot. She seems to be poring over her components in front of her and is watching a door beside that plant as she mixes together different reagents in front of her.
That is awesome.
I try to read her mind.
Nice!
Okay. It's gotta be done.
Let's see. You can use an action to cast the Detect Thoughts spell with a DC of 17. Let's see.
So bad.
She's gonna need to make a...
It's gotta be...
Okay. So surface level thoughts initially. As you try to probe into the mind of the woman you see in the reflection, you're suddenly overcome, you and Krellic, with this intense wash of anger and loss and frustration. The anger is nearly consuming. You get the sense that this woman is fuming over something, but that underneath it, the source of it, is some great loss in her that she is not giving voice to. You can try to delve a little deeper if you want, but you do risk tipping her off that she is being watched.
No. Not on the first question. Not on the first question. Not gonna do that.
We'll say you have used 1 point for scry, 1 point for detect thoughts.
That's out of how many?
Seven.
Okay. Yeah. I don't wanna risk it on the first one.
Risk it for the biscuit.
Well, your turn.
So you just say something and it shows it to you?
It seemed to activate on the name.
Hmm.
So person, place, thing?
Mirror magic is, anyone of my kinfolk still alive? It go. That's it, right? You go and it happens?
I think so.
The image of the druid fades. You are looking again at your own reflections. And for a couple of seconds, nothing seems to happen. And then, very, very faintly, you see the image of a young dwarf, roughly a boy, maybe early 20s or so, appearing at the edges of the mirror. He is huddled in very, very heavy furs and appears to be walking somewhere where there is a great deal of snow around him, almost a complete whiteout. There is no telling any sort of features of the landscape around him. And wherever he is within the dale, it is nowhere near your location because you are not experiencing the same sort of weather he appears to be. You do see this figure taking several steps in the snow, then they glance furtively over their shoulder as if worried about something. You can't see their face, their hood is very, very low, and their body stocky. But you are seeing wisps of an orange beard underneath.
He's so confused, he doesn't know a boy, so he's... Wow, this is new for him. He's just gonna kind of stare at it, just look over it, grin, and be like, I have no idea who that is.
Are the images shared?
The images are shared. Okay.
Well, does it look like Krellic to him? At least similar?
Hard to gauge. Orange beard is about as much as you can tell of this person, their hood so low.
Well, whoever that is a steel forge.
So, maybe one of them survived. I don't know.
How long ago was this?
It's been a while.
Like, 10 years? 20?
Maybe 50 or so.
Ooh, wow. Well, if the mirror can be trusted, someone survived.
Someone's alive. I mean, that's enough for me.
Just pat him on the shoulder.
As you watch, and this person is trudging through the snow, through this blizzard that you're not experiencing yourself, so you're not sure where exactly in the dale it might be. But you hear distantly, at the same time that this person looks sharply up, a crack, as if a sail caught in a strong windstorm. There is nothing else that appears in the image, but this young figure throws themselves to the ground and starts heaping snow over themselves.
Hang on. I'll find you. He's kind of just repeating that to himself.
That is 3 of 7 asked.
Yep, 4 left.
This is tough.
Insane. At this point, don't be afraid of getting a little greedy. Like...
No.
It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if we're struggling with like a good question for like important stuff, because in this case, if it was like answering questions, like it was actually like you could answer any question, then, you know, I would have said like, yeah, ask what like Oral's weakness is and like shit like that. But I mean, if this is you can only see them.
You know what? He's been curious ever since.
Don't forget, you could also look up places.
True. But we're going to do another person. Show me Jarlaxle.
Okay.
Go.
What's that shifty bitch up to?
Yes, exactly. He liked him.
Uh-oh.
No, she laughed.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
And you said you're scrying on him?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Well, the druid had failed her check, so we're going to see if he succeeds his. So, wisdom saving throw for our boy here.
That would be a natural one.
Rolls a one.
Swish.
Oh, that's so good. He is so full of himself.
So, as the image of the dwarf who is scooping snow over himself, trying to remain concealed, fades, you find yourselves both looking at a very richly appointed common room with wooden walls. There is a bearskin rug on the floor and a crackling fireplace. The bed against the wall over this bearskin rug has rich red sheets and hangings, you know, drapes that sort of protect whoever is lying within from prying eyes. Sitting on a cushioned bench at the foot of this bed is a familiar figure who is currently pulling on boots. And as you're looking at him, he's paused and he seems to be almost stuck in position, pulling his boot on. And he cocks his head to one side and he cocks his head to the other, looking either direction in the small room. And then glances up and looks directly at the pair of you through the mirror, staring at the, presumably, the sensor that you sent to scry on him. Right.
What?
Well, I could have... You really catch people off guard, you know.
I think he sees us.
We abort, we run? What's going on?
No, what is he gonna do? Teleport here?
I don't know how this works.
Actually, he might be able to do that.
Wait, what?
It's a thing.
I was about to start getting undressed here in a moment, so if you don't mind...
Turn it off.
Oh, fine. He's gonna... I guess, I don't know. I want to say he swipes.
I will say, right. That even though he has said that, you can distinctly see that, you know, obviously you both have just woken up, you're kind of on the day cycle that everyone in the Dale is on, and he definitely does not look like he is getting undressed. He looks very distinctly like he was caught pulling his boot on.
Do I get the impression that he can do anything about this sensor?
That is entirely up to you. Fuck. And what you think he might be capable
of.
You know,
I don't care. He's just gonna look around the room.
Nice.
There isn't much to tell about it. It seems to be a very richly appointed in common room.
Mm-hmm. And it's not one I recognize.
Not one you recognize, okay. Nope.
Alright.
You could certainly press him a little further if you want to.
Well, he spoke like at us. I don't know if we can speak to him right without expending more points.
No, not without expending more points to pry into his head.
No, I'm not gonna. Like I said, swipe right.
As the spell starts to fade, he raises a hand as if in gratitude, like, yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And goes back to pulling on his boot.
Now he's up to something. I know he is.
You caught him during his morning getting ready.
Well, you're up.
Got three more questions of the mirror.
I'll keep it, yeah, well, I'm saving... No, just do what you want.
Well, the first thing that pops into his head is he thinks about that voice he heard that one night. And
oh, man, that's funny.
Reaches out to it and just kind of asks it. So, I wasn't crazy, right? You really did come down and talk to me. He's not real sure he's going to get a response, but...
Yeah, you don't get a response. All you... see is yourself asking that question to the mirror, because it is now reflecting the pair of you back.
Think about it, Krellick. Who do you think was speaking to you?
Well, I thought it was the Father of the Forge.
Then say it.
Moradin.
You want to see Moradin?
He's going to scry on a god.
He was trying to talk to Moradin.
Yep.
You did say a name.
Yeah.
You did.
Just gonna casually scry on a god.
That's it.
Well,
Nope.
Well, it won't be the first one by the end of this.
The reflection of the pair of you fades.
I forgot to see a goal. That's what it was.
And you see not the man that you met in your dream, but you do see a familiar figure. You see the proprietor of the blacksmithing shop, the forge, that Tavini was familiar with, the family that resides there.
What was her name? Elsa and Darn?
Pulling them up right now.
Pretty sure that was right. Sit. Yep. Damn. Nailed it.
Bang.
Go way downtown.
Garn the Hammer and his sister Elsa. You're seeing Garn at work at his forge with a amulet
god.
To Morden sort of peeking out from, you know, under his apron. And after a moment, the image of Garn fades. And you're seeing another unfamiliar blacksmith who is holding up a very ornately shaped crown of some kind, you know, gold filigree all throughout, this very precious looking diadem. And he holds it up and inspects it and seems to return to shaping it as the image of that figure fades, and it's yet another unfamiliar blacksmith this time. A woman who seems to be working on a horseshoe. She is bending this red-hot metal into shape. You get the distinct impression that you're not going to be able to scry on a god, but you are able to see at least some of their influence in the world.
At least not that one. Yeah.
Morden's with us wherever we go.
Yes, got the gods are everywhere and all that.
Morden's just
done
that. You know what? I'm reminded of that picture of, like, that guy shooting up heroin and Jesus is in front of him, like, putting his arm under the needle instead. Have you ever seen that picture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Jesus take the wheel and all that.
You ready for another shot in the dark?
Go ahead. I'm done.
Show me oral.
Oh.
See if this works.
Here we fucking go. Re-entangle little swords. I
think she's a little lower on the totem pole than Morden, so we'll see how this works.
That's true. Yeah, she is a lesser.
Yeah, still a god, though.
Described as a lesser god, so. Yep. If it bleeds, we can kill it.
I need to pull up something really quick here, because you're getting into some shit here.
Yay! I still have a point to spend. That's what we do. If this works.
Put those boys in the shit.
So, as you say the name Oral, the gradually changing images of different blacksmiths working at their forge fades. You're left again staring at your own reflections in the mirror. Around the edges of the mirror, where this moonlight swirls under the surface, you start to see frost forming, pressing inward as if to obscure your vision of the mirror. Looking into the glass, all there's left is in the center, only a few feet wide, a mirror that is not covered in frost, almost as if it has restricted your vision. You do not see any sort of figure in front of you through the mirror as you might have hoped, seeking Morden. But instead, see as if from a bird's eye view, a white island in the middle of a steel gray sea with icebergs all about. The light of the aurora overhead spills onto this island, illuminating in these great structures and spears of ice that just cover the entirety of it. It looks about as inhospitable a natural fortress as could be contained upon this world.
Almost like a fortress of solitude.
Get out.
So, it's restricting his vision, right?
Yes. Yes.
He's gonna use True Sight.
Alright, last point to use True Sight with the Crystal Ball ability.
There's nobody to talk to.
I love it so much.
Okay.
So I want to see what True Sight does.
Let me double check her I need to get a stat block going for this, because you might be in some trouble, boy.
I'll say, bust out the stat block.
You remember what I said earlier about risks?
Rip. Yeah, and about so having balls. Giant balls.
I am so proud of you.
You've got balls. I like balls.
I'm so proud of you, now die.
Yeah.
So, as you reach for the magic of this mirror, the last remaining shreds of it, and as you cast True Sight, you see around the edges, that ornate frame, that the moonlight starts to dim and die away. Through the thin sheet of frost that has covered the outside of this mirror, Krellick, you continue to see the island below as if from a bird's eye view.
Crap.
But Felgrin.
Crap.
Just you, buddy.
This defeats my strategy.
Your eyes glaze over white. And Krellick, you can see Felgrin's eyes roll into the back of his head.
Uh-oh.
As you find yourself standing suddenly, Felgrin, not in a stone chamber of moderate temperature where animals have previously been layering, but instead in a frozen hall full of delicate, icy sculptures all about. Looking at each of these, you could tell they are not carved purely from ice. These are people, creatures, each of them shaped into either grotesque or hauntingly beautiful shapes, and then frozen in place, encased in ice for eternity. You're seeing not just living forms, but also the unmistakable shapes of beautiful statues, of sculptures, of baubles and trinkets, artwork, beautiful paintings, all of them encased in ice, preserved for eternity. And within this space, you don't hear anything. It is utterly, deadly quiet. The stillness of the heart of winter. But you do feel distinctly someone at your back. And turning around, you catch just the barest glimpse of a feminine form stepping forward out of the darkness before your entire body becomes so numb that you're no longer able to focus on the person in front of you, but only instead on the pain of cold, of being frozen and rooted into place. Krellick, beside you, you can see frost starting to lick its way up from the cold floor up onto Felgrin's boots.
And Felgrin's still not moving?
Still not moving.
I think Krellick's going to try to shake him.
You can't touch him. It's like a live wire.
Oh,
you have to poke him with like a broom.
Felgrin, as cold envelops you, and you feel yourself being propelled from this place, because she is going to use legendary resistance.
Yes, of course.
Allowing you just the barest glimpse, as if to strike fear into you by her appearance. Not even saying anything in this. She doesn't need to. You feel a warm hand press against your chest, and with how cold your body feels in this moment, it is the searing heat of a forge. And you are propelled backwards as if suddenly struck with a hammer, and are sent sliding across the stone floor away from the mirror, and come to a halt against the curve of the wall of the tunnel that the mirror is down. The frost at the edges of the mirror remains, but you could see it slowly starts to recede. Your boots are caked in ice.
Hello everyone, Rian Stormlight here at your service. I'm here to talk about... Wait, is this right? Rat trap games? You know how I feel about rats. I mean, seriously. Oh. Okay, fine. RatTrapGames.com is a great place to pick up all the mats and set pieces to make your tabletop game epic. It's a great alternative to those high-priced retailers to get what you need within your budget. They design their mats to be flexible as hell for game masters, as well as offer books, dice, and anything you can need to help build your own world. The scenics they offer are easily stored and set up with relative ease. No painting, complicated assembly, muss or fuss for that matter. And the cherry on top is if you head there now and punch in the code SQLR21, you can get a 10% discount on any purchases on the site. So give rattrapgames.com a visit and enter the code SQLR21 to get your 10% discount. Now, I'll see you on the next short quest. Long rest.
What happened? What was that? Are you dead?
I think I was in the presence of a god. He kind of looks like he's got like the 1,000-yard stare.
You saw that person you were trying to see?
Briefly. He just kind of rubs his face.
I don't like this mirror anymore.
That's fine, because we can't use it anymore.
Good. Let's go back.
He starts kicking the frost up, like hitting his heel on the ground to get the frost off his feet. He'll kind of stand up, wobble a little bit.
Carlos is going to kind of help him up, assist him, and just kind of stay behind him, like, between the mirror and Belgrin, and be like, let's go away.
I did see something, though.
What'd you see?
A room full of frozen corpses.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I can't wait to vacation there.
It's about to become one, if it weren't for you, so. Or something else. Either way, thank you.
Hey, it's what we're here to do. Got to look out for each other, and all that.
Slowly make his way out, I think he wants to leave this this building.
Yes, he's falling behind very quickly. He wants away from that mirror. Yes.
For those of you who have been outside, once the entirety of the moonbeam spell had expended itself on that full moon symbol, though moonlight was no longer striking it, the moon continued to glow on the ground as if in the light of the moon still. However, by the time Felgrin and Krellic emerge, that lingering light has dissipated, and again left that patch of stonework as bare and lightless as the rest of the symbols in the circle.
So, what did you guys what did you guys see?
A guy who's crimson red can be, he's very pale.
Yeah, I think Krellic's even paler than normal too.
What's wrong with you guys? What did you see? What did you ask?
I don't like this magic shite. I don't like it all.
I'm going to need some time before I tell you that. Just kind of rubs his forehead.
Felgrin, you feel something warm around your legs there. And you look down and see that Finnegan has come and sat on your feet. And has coiled his big bushy tail around your calves. Sitting there with, like, his butt on your boots, but...
Thank you, my friend. You kind of pat him on the head.
Don't mention it. Though really, God, this is cold. Oh, cold.
Yes, it's very cold, yes. Well, was there a point to any of that? Well, what was the purpose? Just to ask the questions?
Yeah, to see if we could get some more information.
He will run down everything, you know, about the last thing that they saw, and what he only saw. In detail, I figure we don't need to hear it twice. Y'all heard what she said. But he will tell you exactly everything he saw and felt.
So it's on an island.
I don't know what it is, but it was on an island. Yes.
It's got to be in the northern flows. It's the only thing that makes sense.
It's really, really not nice.
But that's good. It gives us an idea. Now don't get me wrong, I don't think this is one of those things where we just wander off and go try to kill a god. We're going to need to find out more information. But it's good to know. Good work, Grin.
I don't think you understand. She saw my face up close.
Aye, he was gone. His eyes are all rolled up and everything.
In person. I was there. She was going to kill me.
Aye, but
But you're alive. See?
I wouldn't be surprised if he has, like, a streak of fucking white hair now. It's that stressful for him.
Yeah. I think that, like, looking around, seeing the faces, because, you know, Rian this entire time has been trying to be, like, the jovial, like, oh, it's fine. We're going to be all right, right? And, like, just seeing, like, Tavini's face being, like, her murmuring prayers and Felgren, like, fucking just pale and yep. Krellic pale. And the only other person I got is Dreamer, who I can't read anything ever. Yeah. Just like...
He definitely mentioned, like, the heat of the forge and the hammer strike. He mentioned everything he felt. So if that's of any interest to the Moradin lovers of the party...
Well, it just makes him more confused because he didn't get nothing back from his, but you sent something, so now he's...
God's work in mysterious ways, Krellic.
I mean, there are gods and there are gods.
I'm just going to sit down.
Lowercase.
Krellic's going to look at Rian and just ask him a simple question. So, you talked about the ship before. You think you could sail in these seas?
The ice flows?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. We'd need the right type of ship, something with a strong hull, but absolutely.
He just kind of nods and just... Leaves it at that.
Perhaps something like an icebreaker.
Roll credits.
Better return a sword anyways.
And it all comes...
Yow! I like jump up in the air and freeze frames.
Oh god.
They were going to get up here eventually.
Was that the plan? I don't remember what their
path was. The ship was too damaged. They had to stop and repair.
Felgren will describe everything else that he saw, you know, or that they saw, I guess. Just so you guys have the whole shebang.
That's cool if you want to keep some of that to yourself.
Well, he won't share the part you wanted about Krellic's kin, because he doesn't feel like it's his place. But he'll share everything else.
10-4. Cool.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure if any of this gets us closer to that druid. I mean, we did see her, but...
But you said the inside kind of looked
like this
inside,
right? Well,
yes,
I guess it does
right?
confirm that she's here, at least, kind of. That it did look similar.
Well, isn't that what the other incantation is for? When we put it on the, is it the quarter moon that turns it, that's supposed to open the doors?
On either side.
The half moon, yeah. That was just our first step. Next one's the half moon, and doors should open up right to her. She's got to be up there. If the location looked exactly the same, that's the only place we're not seeing.
Should a couple of us go to the door? In case it's gonna close, we can hold it open?
Not it.
Oh, that's a good call. I totally even think of that. If we open that door, well, it said, I wonder how that works, because like she said that even when the magic faded on the one, the thing stayed open, but I'm not sure if that's just, you got your seven points. By the time you made it back, it had turned off, but like, I'm not sure if that means that it faded earlier and that it just ran out because you guys ran out of the seven
but, I mean,
questions.
Dreamer's going to have to stop the spell to make it up the stairs, isn't he?
Yeah, but that's what I'm wondering. Like, does it stay active for a little bit like the other one did?
Well, before he does it, Krellic's going to go up there anyway.
I think that's a good idea to try to get something. So I think Rian is, like, looking around in the rubble for, like, a big piece of, like stone that he could prop in that door to keep it from closing. Like, even if he needs Krellic to help him haul it. Like, something big. Like, talking, like... a few feet long that we could, like, you know, get ready and just throw it up in there real fast and then, you know, to brace that door open.
Understandable. So there are two half moon symbols on the ground here. Which of these do you think you're going to be going for?
The door didn't end up having any type of insignia on it, did it?
You can go check.
Yep, I swore we did check the first time, and I want to say that there was nothing on the door that, like, indicated if it was half moon or or like half full or half empty.
If I have previously said that there was nothing, that is a mistake on my part.
I honestly because don't. Yeah.
Okay.
I may just remember it wrong. You may both have totally said it's possible. Absolutely a half moon full
my
or whatever.
Notoriously shitty.
Yeah. So, exactly. Well, I forget shit all the time. Sometimes I just make shit up in my head.
Yeah.
To like, correct any mistake which may or may not have been made, as you approach the door, Kralik, Rian, you do see that it has a half moon symbol upon it.
Yay.
The rounded edge of this one is facing towards the left.
Well, shit. Ours point up and down.
Well, the only logical thing would be, well, I guess not. I don't know. Go for the one on the left when looking north, I guess. I don't know.
I guess that makes sense, left. Yeah, that's kind of how I would take it then. So yeah, we'll start with that one. If not, we'll just use up all of Dreamer's spell slots. Well, he can move it. He has a minute, and I know he can move it. So if it doesn't work the first time, we can do it again. But were we able to find, like, a big chunk of rubble or something?
Within that rubble pile that is the smashed wall, yeah, absolutely I would say that you'd be able to find a good old sizable piece.
Sweet. So, yeah, me and Kralik, like, drag it up to the door and, like, lean it against the door, essentially, so that, like, when it opens, we can just, like, kind of tip it in. And when it comes back down, it just locks in. And then we can call for everybody. But yeah, so I think Green will come back out and like, okay, looks like it's the left moon goes to this door. So me and Krellick already got ourselves a nice piece of rubble to hold the door open. Hopefully it works. If you want to get ready, get the symbol, I'll get there by Krellick. And once it's open and locked in place, we'll give a holler to you to follow us in. Because I'm afraid that as soon as this door opens, it's like, game on. Like, I don't know for a fact. There might be like a little tiny bit of a dungeon crawl to get there, but I just have this feeling we're going to be like, door opens, lady throws a spell at us, and we're just like,
so where are Tavini and Felgrin setting up while Dreamer prepares to cast his second moonbeam?
Not effing inside.
Not inside? Okay.
So I guess he'll just hang out near the Dreamer.
All right, Tavini setting herself up to play defense on the rubble pile.
Yep.
Defense. Defense.
Nice.
She wants to be, like, somewhere where she can... Well, she doesn't have, like, very big legs, so she has to... It takes a lot of effort to catch up to people, so she just wants to be as close to everyone as possible. So, somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Her tiny legs.
So what's the play here? Like, are we going to try to draw her out? If this door opens and she's literally on the other side of this door, are we trying to draw her back so that everybody can get into it? Or are we going to, like, try to, like, play it for a couple rounds while you guys rush in? Because I'm just worried about the door, and I don't know if she's going to come to us type thing. That's my only worry.
Don't know.
Try to say.
Oh, Kralik
was suggesting
you
keep her busy.
Yeah.
What were you trying to say, Elise?
Try talking, and if talking doesn't work...
Oh, okay.
Game on.
I think it's dumb for Dreamer to step into the room, since we don't know.
Oh, if the door will hold?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, then we should probably try to draw her out to us, then. So, be like, I think if you have to hold it... And we'll get ready with the cinder block. He's like, he'll kind of put his hand on Krellick's shoulder. He's like, don't go running in there. I was like, we need our backup if this thing's as tough as like the last druid we fought. So, like, be smart
well,
about this.
Try talking to her. Back. I'll wait right here. And wait for everyone to show up.
Okay.
All right. So you cracking it open?
All right. Let's crack her open.
So. As Dreamer's moonbeam falls upon the nearest of the half-moon symbols, the door in front of you, Krellick, you don't see anything happen to it. Except for the faint shimmer of moonlight on the image of the half moon carved into its surface as the only change that overcomes the door.
Krillix can look back at Rian for a second and just kind of look back at the door and try to push on it.
There you go. Yeah,
there you go.
It explodes.
Yeah. So it just unlocks it. Doesn't technically open it.
As you...
It's good. We probably lug this rubble up here for nothing.
It swings smoothly open, not even making a whisper. And you find yourself staring into a familiar room.
Oh.
One which you saw in the mirror.
She's telling you.
She's here. She's here.
There's frozen corpses everywhere. Oh shit, it's that room.
Oh god, that'd be even worse.
It's room, not that son room. Son of a bitch!
Not
a penny boss, it's the boss
about 60 foot square, but it is entirely round. There's a large stone sarcophagus in the center, and a berry bush in a pot immediately to your left as you enter the door.
This is the room. This is the room.
There are several accoutrements scattered all over the place. The top of the sarcophagus in the center, littered with different herbs. There is a mortar and pestle. It's obviously been used. You know, the pestle's got a bit of something ground on the end of it. You're not able to tell the color because you are seeing everything in the gray scale of dark vision. Aside from that, you don't see anyone in here. But you also don't really see anywhere for someone to hide, except for behind maybe that sarcophagus.
Real quick, what was the connection between Sardun and Ravison?
Sinar.
Wasn't there, they knew each other, right? Or no? Sinar,
I think we asked and there was no connection.
There wasn't? Okay, for some reason I couldn't remember if there was a connection or not. Okay, no problem then. And say, that was going to be something I broached if I went in there first. Just been like, hey, you know, you're a friend, or whatever the hell she was, but apparently not.
If we see her, just tell her we're here to borrow some sugar. And then he just...
Ma'am, I'm here to talk to you about your car's warranty.
Yes.
I'm here to talk to you about your Lord and Savior, Arl.
So, I'll hold the door open and we'll wait for everybody. Just in case it tries to shut.
Okay. Okay, I think Rian's going to step in and kind of come in easy. He's got his weapons out, like his two swords, but he's like, is anybody home?
Your voice echoes ominously within this space, and every click of your boot heels also bounces back towards you, reverberated off those rounded walls. The ceiling in here is a dome, its highest point directly over the sarcophagus.
I guess I'll walk up to the sarcophagus and Credit, give a holler back real fast, let him know what we're seeing.
As you step up to the sarcophagus, you hear a soft whimper around the other side of it.
He's gonna holler back, it's the room, it's the room. Hopefully Grin will understand what he means and just like stand right there at the door.
Felgrin, Dreamer, are either of you doing anything? Tavini, I see you creeping up the hall that the two of them are down.
I'll follow her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting a drink.
Tavini's gonna...
So, Tavini, Felgrin is at your back, and Dreamer beyond him. Rian.
Yeah, going around the sarcophagus to take a peek around.
Yeah, as you round the sarcophagus, you hear the scrape of claws behind you. Miri has followed you into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And as you creep around the sarcophagus and peek around it, you hear the telltale scrabble of small claws clicking over stone. And you see over your shoulder Miri's head follow something running past her. Krellick, fast approaching you is a small white fox, its mouth stained blue, as if with berry juice.
He's gonna let it
pass. As it tries to bolt past you out into the hallway.
Oh, that could be the druid. It's done past him.
Do you let it pass you?
Yeah, because he's not gonna put two and two together until after it's past him. He's not gonna think that pass.
Okay.
Like, stop that fox!
Continues to bolt down the hallway, and Tavini, Felgrin, and Dreamer, you see coming towards you a small white fox with something staining its mouth.
Okay, do they say...
Are you doing anything with that?
Do they say, stop that fox?
Yeah, Rian definitely yelled. After Krellick was said that, he was like, oh, that might be the druid. Because it probably didn't, like, click with Rian either. Because we've only seen Dreamer do it a couple times as far as transforming and been like, oh shit, Dreamer can do that. But like stop that all fox!
Right, he's gonna cast Levitate.
Yes!
That is so good.
I love Levitate.
I love it now.
I know.
It's so good. If it works.
Let's see. Da-da-da-da. It's a constitution saving throw for a small fox.
Ooh.
Ooh.
17.
Damn.
Yikes. You go to lift this small fox, and for a moment, its hindquarters lift into the air, its tail going vertical as if being yanked up, and it pulls itself out of the grip of whatever was hauling it into the air, and continues to race towards Tavini. Do you do anything, Tavini?
Bugger it. I don't know if this is gonna do anything, because I don't think this is something that can be dispelled.
Okay.
But just in case.
Interesting.
Attempting dispel magic.
I wonder how that works.
Yeah.
With shape.
She just out of like,
I
she
have
has no idea what to do, and she's just like, and tries to just reject that magic.
So if we are ruling that Dispel Magic can dump somebody out of their wild shape. Dreamer, are you all right as the party druid with that happening to you potentially in the future?
Absolutely.
All right. Then, like Tavini, as you cast this spell, this small white fox with stains on its mouth is suddenly a lot larger.
Uh-oh.
As there's instead a very wild-looking woman in front of you, with dark hair and pale skin, a headdress made from a wolf with empty, blind eyes, and an amulet with Oral's snowflake on her breast.
Oh, no.
And I'm gonna need everyone in here to roll initiative.
In a world headed for disaster, five strangers with mysterious pasts are thrown together by the winds of fate to try to stop the unseen forces that threaten to destroy their world. Join Kraval, a dragonborn with no memory and no past, who is the first of the barbarians of the mountains to be seen in 1,000 years. Cotter, a penniless paladin, running from something or someone in his past. No one. The only tiefling monk the kingdom has ever seen, who has been expelled from his monastery for reasons he has not revealed. Adri, his monastic companion, who hides some deep dark secret she cannot reveal. And Arlen, once a simple farmer, until some mysterious event manifested sorcerous powers in him. They must travel the length and breadth of the kingdom of Faroe, searching for the disparate clues that will help them unravel the mystery of the failing of their land, while trying to hold together the unraveling threads of society's weave threatening to come apart at any moment. They will have to battle nature, plague, politics, and even the forces of the underworld as they attempt to discover and defeat whoever, or whatever, is attempting to poison their world and throw it into chaos. Relic of the Past is a novel-length story told via a clean, custom, 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons game. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found, and at poolmedia.podbean.com.